Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. In the future, this child will protect and maintain all the world. For this reason, he is to be called Vishvambar. Purport. The Chaitanya Bhagavat also confirms that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his birth, has made the whole world peaceful. As in the past, Narayan protected this earth in his incarnation as Varaha. Because of his protecting and maintaining this world in the present Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishvambar, which refers to one who feeds the entire world. The movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was present 500 years ago is again being propagated all over the world, and factually we are seeing its practical results. People are being saved, protected, and maintained by this Hare Krishna movement. Thousands of followers, especially Western youths, are taking part in this Hare Krishna movement. And how safe and happy they feel can be understood from the expressions of gratitude in their hundreds and thousands of letters. The name Vishvambar is also mentioned in the Atharva Veda Samhita, Vishvambhara Vishvena Ma Bharasa Pahi Svaha. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yata Padakamalan Shri Guru and Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Dam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. With the permission of all the Vaishnavas, I'll try to share some thoughts. On this verse here we're reading today, this passage of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is all to do with the naming of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu received many different names. He was known as Nimai. That name was given to him by Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita Acharya, specifically to protect him and specifically because he was born under a neem tree. Mahaprabhu was given the name Gaurahari because he was golden, he was effulgent. Gauranga, all his limbs were resplendent like molten gold. Therefore he was known as Gaurahari. And here, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is being named Vishvambar. By who? Who is naming him Vishvambar? His grandfather, his maternal grandfather, Nilambar Chakravarti. Vishvambar is a very interesting name. Vishva, as we know, means the universe. And Bhara has many different meanings. It can mean to uphold. Bhara can also mean to maintain. Bhara can mean to protect. Bhara can also mean to fill. And here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, Bhara means to feed. So how is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu maintaining, protecting, upholding the universe? What is he exactly filling the world with? Here, Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Vishvambar, which refers to one who feeds the entire world. So what exactly is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu feeding the entire world with? What exactly is he filling the world with? Anyone want to say? Prema. Yes. Love of God. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special characteristic. Krishna is known as Lila Purushottam, God who performs wonderful pastimes. Ram is known as Maryada Purushottam, one who is showing the ideal example. But Mahaprabhu's special feature is the love. The love that he shows, the love that he exhibits, and the love that he infuses in other people. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Prema Purushottam. In Bhaktivinoda Thakur's essay, which overviews the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says this is the most miraculous thing. Yes, Mahaprabhu was a great superstar scholar. Yes, Mahaprabhu was so great that even the denizens of heaven were coming to see him. Yes, Mahaprabhu had all the bodily markings of Vishnu. Yes, Mahaprabhu performed so many miraculous activities and showed so many mystical forms. But the one thing Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that proves without a shadow of a doubt that Mahaprabhu is God is the incredible love that he showed within himself, the incredible prema that he exuded, and the love and prema that he awakened and stimulated within others. That's what's special, the love of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore this love is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give the world, pure love of Krishna. Now when we talk of love, Mahaprabhu has come to give love. Then we look at our own lives and we think, how much love do I have? How much love do I have for Krishna? If I'm supposed to be a follower of Mahaprabhu who is coming to give love of Godhead, how much love do I really have myself as a follower? It's like every morning we sing, Shri Radha Govinda Preme Shadayena Basi. May I swim in the ocean of love for Radha and Govinda. So how many of us are swimming in an ocean of love for God? Any hands? It sounds so beautiful, doesn't it? To swim in an ocean of love for God. Maybe we're swimming in a few puddles of love of God now and again. And when the blazing sun of material desires comes to the top of the sky, then even those puddles are evaporated and we're left with not really so much. So therefore, we are actually impoverished. We don't have love for Krishna. Of course, when I say we don't have, I'm referring to myself. We don't have that love for Krishna somehow or other. There is no ocean of love for Krishna. Between Radha and Krishna, there is great oceans of love. Isn't it like, for example, you have the pastime at Prem Sarovar, where Radha and Krishna were there associating with each other, and then the king of bees, Madhu, came to see what was going on. He actually wanted to get very close and circumambulate Radha and Krishna. So as he came close to Radha and Krishna, then Madhu Mangal could see that this could prove a disturbance to the interaction between Radha and Krishna. And therefore he came over and with a stick he started chasing the bee away. So then the bee went very far away. And Madhu Mangal came back triumphantly and said, Madhu is gone, Madhu is gone. But for Radharani, Madhu is Krishna. So when Radharani heard that Madhu is gone, she became so overwhelmed that she began crying. And when Krishna saw Radharani crying, then he began to cry. And when she saw him crying, she began to cry even more, which caused Krishna to cry even more. And in this way, a Prem Sarova was formed, a river of love. So it's very interesting when you see in spiritual interactions where the rasa is there, even the smallest thing, like if you read Nectar of Devotion, then Rupa Goswami is explaining the intricacies of rasa. So he breaks down this loving emotion that devotees have with Krishna, you know, into various components. There's Stai Bhava, there's Anu Bhava, there's Vi Bhava, there's Sattvika Bhava. So he's breaking the whole experience down. And then he's explaining there are stimulants. And the stimulants for awakening these very deep emotions of love, these ecstasies, the stimulants are sometimes very small things. A pure devotee may just see a peacock feather, and that's it, just poof, it's like a flood of emotion. Or they may just see a buffalo horn of Krishna, and it just awakens like a deep remembrance and smarana within them. Then they become overwhelmed by ecstasy. So just a small thing, that's all it takes to awaken their love for Krishna. And perhaps we are on the other scale. It's like in the morning at 7 o'clock, we receive the biggest stimulant. I mean, the curtains open and there's Krishna, Radharani, right there in front of us, at least speaking for myself. And the curtains open, it's like the biggest stimulant to love of Krishna. And you're kind of like looking around like, okay, who's turned up for Guru Puja today? And that devotee's sleeping, you're kind of looking at your watch and, you know, just completely dull, completely dull. Because the sensitivity is not there. And the sensitivity is not there because the purity is not there. And therefore, even coming before Krishna, the love is not coming. I remember there used to be one devotee here, and every day he used to ask me, like, what color dress were the deities wearing today? And I couldn't answer it. You can ask yourself that question now and all will be revealed in 7 minutes' time. Next day, what were the deities wearing? Next day, what were the deities wearing? After some time, I told him, Prabhu, just stop asking me this question. This is depressing, you know? Like, I'm just not conscious, dull, overcome by selfishness, anartas, conditions. Therefore, we cannot experience that love for Krishna. But this is what Mahaprabhu is coming to give, love. So then the question comes, how in the world are we going to develop this kind of love for Krishna? Of course, Rupa Goswami outlines the process. He says, spontaneous love, spontaneity of love, comes from purity. And purity comes from regularity. So the regular practices of devotional service awaken that kind of love for Krishna that we know. Recently I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and something kind of occurred to me about Mahaprabhu and love and how to develop this love of God. And I'll see if I can share that with you today. When Mahaprabhu was 16 years old, at that time he was Nimai, he went to Gaya. He went to Gaya, he met Ishwarapuri, and he became infused with love of Godhead. As soon as he became mad with this intoxication of love of Godhead, what was his first thing? What did he want to do immediately? Anyone remember? What was his first thought as he was walking away from Gaya? Where did he want to go? Vrindavan. So his first thought was, I'm in love with Krishna. I've experienced Krishna. Let me go to Vrindavan and be in Krishna's land. And then Vrindavan Das Thakur explains that just at that time when Mahaprabhu was walking, then a Akashvani, a sound from the sky came saying, no, where are you going? You can't go to Vrindavan. You have a job to do. You have to give this prema back to the residents of Navadvip. So therefore, you have to go back to Navadvip. So therefore, God had to be reminded, you're God and you have a duty. So he went to Navadvip, and then what did he do? He began preaching. He went to the streets of Nadia, chanting and dancing. Patra patra vichar nahi nahi sthan asthan. Je jane paye tane kare prema dhan. They didn't consider it. They just went here, there, everywhere and just gave prema. So then, at the age of 24, Mahaprabhu took sannyas. Sannyas was another step in his intensifying his relationship towards Krishna. Of course, when he was walking away from the initiation from Keshav Bharati, he recited the famous sannyas prayer, Adhyasitam Purvatame Raharshibi, that I will cross this ocean of the material world by giving up everything and just focusing on Krishna. So Mahaprabhu's sannyas was another step in intensifying that love for Krishna. And as Mahaprabhu was walking away from his sannyas ceremony, what was his first thought? Where did he want to go? Vrindavan. By that time he was misdirected and he went back to Shantipur and later to Jagannath Puri. And then for the next years, Mahaprabhu began to preach for the next 6 years. Around South India, around Jagannath Puri, so on and so forth. Then at the end of the Madhya Leela and beginning the Antya Leela, Mahaprabhu comes back to Jagannath Puri where now he spends the rest of his life. And for the first 6 years of those final 18 years, Mahaprabhu is with all the devotees. He's associating with them. He's having wonderful, loving interactions with them and showing great Vaishnava relationships. And then in the final 12 years, Mahaprabhu just goes internal to the Gambira. No one's around. It's just him and Krishna and a few very close associates experiencing the deepest emotions of Vipralamba Bhav, love in separation. So when I was reading this, I was thinking, this is very interesting. Maybe this has some relevance to our own life. We're trying to develop love for Krishna. But underpinning our love for Krishna, we also have to develop, number one, love for the jivas, love for the conditioned souls. And we also have to, number two, develop love for the devotees. Mahaprabhu in Navadvip and around South India and in Jagannath Puri was preaching. He was experiencing and showing love for the jivas by giving them prema. And when Mahaprabhu arrived back in Jagannath Puri, he was associating with the devotees and showing that we must learn to have these interactions amongst devotees. So when we talk about love for Krishna, we cannot divorce it from love for the jivas and from love for the devotees. If we try to develop our love for Krishna, but we don't simultaneously develop our loving interactions towards the conditioned souls or the devotees, then it will not be a complete practice. And therefore, these three things are very, very important and very, very much go hand in hand. We cannot just awaken Krishna prema like that, just by some practice, unless there's some real substance in us which is developed from these other two types of relationships. Like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji says, that a woman cannot give birth simply by imitating the labor pains. You know, when a woman is pregnant and she's giving birth, there are certain sounds that she, you know, gives out while she's giving birth. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji says that if someone simply imitates those sounds, it's not that they will give birth. If there is nothing inside, you may give those sounds, but nothing will materialize. So similarly, even in our practice of spiritual life, in our chanting of the holy names, unless there is some real substance inside, it won't give birth to Krishna prema. And how do we develop that substance inside which gives birth to Krishna prema? That's very much through our interactions with the conditioned souls and our interactions with the devotees. So I just want to pause for thought on these two points. Firstly, we have to learn to develop love for the conditioned souls. You see, a Vaishnava who is in loving relationship with Krishna cannot be insensitive to the suffering of the conditioned souls. Those two things just don't go hand in hand. It's like very interesting when you see the beginning of the Bhagavatam, then the sages are assembled and then Suta Goswami comes. So now Suta Goswami is extremely elevated, extremely advanced, such a deep devotee, completely self-realized, spiritually powerful, powerhouse. When Suta Goswami arrives in Naimisharanya, Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. When Suta Goswami comes and the sages are in front of him, then the sages are about to ask him a question. So now we may want to pause for thought. If the most powerful spiritual personality in the room, in the world, would now walk into the room and we would have an opportunity to ask a question, what question would we ask? What would you ask if Rupa Goswami would walk into the temple room right now and you could ask him any question? What question would you ask? I mean, just think about that for a moment. The sages had exposure to Suta Goswami, who was the most incredibly elevated personality in the universe. They had an opportunity to ask questions. What is the first question they asked? Anyone know? Yes. What is the ultimate and eternal benefit for all the living beings in Kali Yuga? Such an amazing question. If we would have an opportunity, maybe we would ask something about my own spiritual life, what I need to do, what's going to happen to me. The sages ask, what is the ultimate good for all living entities in the universe? In other words, love of Krishna and love of the jivas goes hand in hand. If one is insensitive to the suffering of others, how can we ever come close to Krishna? I was giving that example, maybe somewhere not here, that there was recently, there was a devotee, and he was, anyway, he was in a restaurant. So anyway, he was in a restaurant, sitting by the window, and he was quite hungry, whatever. It was a devotee restaurant. Just got to add that, like, footnote. So then he was sitting there, and then the meal came or whatever, somehow, so it appeared before him, all this prasadam. So, you know, just about to start eating it. So just about when he's about to start eating the meal, he's sitting right by there, by the window, and then what happens is a homeless person. A homeless person comes right to the window, and is just like right there on the window. I mean, just watching you. So what do you do? So it's like, what do you do in that situation? Option A, ignore it and just carry on with your meal. Can you do it? Option B, put the blind down. Can you really do it? Option C, walk away from the table and go to another. I mean, that's probably the one most likely you'd go for. But even then, you'd kind of walk away. It would kind of be in your mind. Can we really enjoy the meal knowing that that person is there? Can we really be that insensitive? This devotee had this realization. He said, I won't tell you what he did. But he said, this is actually happening to us every single day. Just look out the window, the conditioned souls are there. Can we really be oblivious to that? Prabhupada was someone, one devotee said to Prabhupada, sometimes I feel compassion for the living beings. Prabhupada said, why only sometimes? Why only sometimes? That was so much Prabhupada's mood. I remember there was one brahmachari in the ashram and he used to have a locker next to me. And on his locker he had this quote of Prabhupada and I used to see it every day. It was such a beautiful quote. It was from Tamal Krishna Maharaj's diaries. Prabhupada said, I have no other motivation. I am simply planning how people can become happy. Prabhupada said, I have no other motivation. I'm simply planning how people can be happy. So that was Prabhupada, so much sensitive. That was Prabhupada who, when he looked out of his window in his room in Mayapur and he saw some kids rummaging around for some food, Prabhupada, it was too much for him. He said, immediately, no one should go hungry within 10 miles of this temple, of any temple. That was Prabhupada. That was Prabhupada who was with Ramai Swami, who was driving to a morning walk in Australia at 6 o'clock in the morning. They got onto the motorway and there was a traffic jam. So Prabhupada looks at the devotee, Ramai Swami, in the back and says, why in the world is there a traffic jam at 6 o'clock in the morning? Ramai Swami said, in Australia, people have to go so far to work that they have to leave very early and drive, 2 hours to work. As soon as he said that, Ramai Swami said, I looked at Prabhupada and a teardrop fell from his eye. And Prabhupada looked at Ramai Swami and said, they're working so hard. For what? That was Prabhupada. So much sensitive to the sufferings of the conditioned souls, the living entities. Recently, actually, I was reading Ravindra Sarup Prabhu's Vyasa Puja offering, I think in 1999. It's a beautiful offering if anyone wants to read it. But he was saying something interesting that he said he was visiting LA, and I think LA, is that where Bhaktivedanta archives are? LA, I think. So he was visiting the Bhaktivedanta archives. And we all know that on Vedabase, you can read all of Srila Prabhupada's letters, isn't it? You can read all of the letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote to others. But this time when Ravindra Sarup Prabhu reached the Bhaktivedanta archives, he found a file which had all the letters that the devotees sent to Prabhupada. So they're the ones you don't read. So we read all the replies that Prabhupada sent, but then he had access to this whole file which had all the letters that Prabhupada was receiving every day. So then he decided to read it. So he said, I sat down and I decided to read. What kind of letters was Prabhupada receiving every single day? So he began reading all the different letters that Prabhupada was receiving. And he said, after 1 hour, I felt so depressed. He said, I was reading the letters that Prabhupada was receiving every day, and it was all just problems, issues, conflicts, devotees not able to maintain their vows, spiritual weakness. It was just problems. And he said, I just felt so depressed that this is what Prabhupada was receiving every day. But then he said, then I thought to myself, how can I be depressed? Prabhupada, who was the one who was receiving all these letters, never became discouraged, never became depressed, never became frustrated. Even though there were so many problems, even though there were so many difficulties, his desire and determination to spread Krishna consciousness and continue on with expanding the movement never wavered even one little bit. And he said, my appreciation for Prabhupada just grew to a new degree after reading those letters. Because sometimes we read Srila Prabhupada's story, and it's a very romantic story. The Swami went with 40 rupees, with nothing. And then 12 years later, he was, a worldwide acharya. And it sounds like a very romantic story, but how much struggle was there in between? how much difficulty. But Prabhupada carried on. Why? Because of incredible love for the conditioned souls. So the first thing is that if we want to develop this love for Krishna, this deep love and concern and sensitivity towards those that don't have Krishna, this must manifest in some way, shape or form. And the other thing that we're realizing when we read Mahaprabhu's pastimes is that the love for the devotees must also manifest. There were once some Swaminarayan sadhus here who were visiting, and we were having a conversation about the Bhagavatam. So then I asked them, for you, which is the most important verse in the Bhagavatam? And then one of them said, oh, that's very clear for us. I said, really? So can you tell me what's the most important verse in the Bhagavatam for you? So he said that Pramukh Swami, who passed away recently, who's the head of their movement, he said he personally told me that this one verse is the most important verse in the Bhagavatam. And what is that verse he quoted? Very interesting verse. It's a verse from the third canto, Kapila to Devahuti. Kapila says, Prashangam ajaram pasham, atmana kavayo vidu, sa eva sadushu krito moksha dvaram apavritam. In this verse, Kapila Dev is saying that attachment to materialistic people is the greatest source of misery in the world. But when that attachment is transferred towards devotees, then that attachment, moksha dvaram apavritam, opens the doors to liberation. In other words, somehow or other, to become attached to Vaishnavas, to actually really learn to love Vaishnavas. And that's difficult. That is a very difficult thing, because here we are all living together, associating together, and let's face it, a lot of the time we just don't get along. It's just like, facts are facts. I remember when I first came to the temple, then I used to do some kitchen service every morning. And they used to have that machine. I don't know if that machine is still there, the potatoes machine. That's still there? Anyway, for those who don't know, there's a potato machine, and you put all these like dirty potatoes in this machine, you add water, and you turn the switch on, and then it just spins. And it's a really rough surface. So when all these potatoes spin together with the water on this rough surface, and they all rub against each other, then, you know, 5 minutes later, they all come out as like shining, peeled, nice potatoes. And every single morning when I would turn that switch on and I would look at those potatoes going round, I would think, this is my life, you know, like I'm just getting ground down by the devotees. But it's good for me. It's good. In the association of Vaishnavas, whatever the friction, whatever the difficulty, somehow or other must stay there. Because from all of this, some genuine humility, tolerance, and from there, love will develop. I remember like Burijan Prabhu was in Vrindavan for many years, still is. He was explaining one time that, for those who have been to India, you know, you see those vendors with like the sugar cane juice. Remember that? They have like a machine, it's like a wheel. And then they put the sugar cane through the wheel. And then the juice comes out. And then once the sugar cane has gone once through, then they fold it over and then put it through again. And some more juice comes out and they fold it over again and then put it through and some more juice comes out. He was watching this whole thing of the sugar cane juice coming out of the sugar cane, and he composed a prayer, and he said, I began to recite this prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. He said, may the hard, crushing wheel of life extract some humility from my offense-hardened heart, and may the nectar of this humility give rise to Krishna prema. Beautiful prayer. May the hard, crushing wheel of life extract some humility from my offense-hardened heart. And may the nectar of that humility give birth to Krishna prema. It's very interesting, in Vaishnava culture, humility and love go hand in hand. Dainya and prema complement each other, are basically complementing each other. Therefore, you find that those devotees who are in very deep prema, they have very great humility also. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll find, premera svabhava yaha premera sambandh, se mane Krishna mora nahi prema gandh. That the premera svabhava, the very nature of prema, is that premera sambandh, when one actually has a loving relationship with Krishna, what is the characteristic of their love for Krishna? Se mane Krishna mora nahi prema gandh. That such a premi bhakta thinks, I don't even have one drop of love for Krishna. So where there is humility, that is where there is prema. So somehow or other, with the devotees, Jiva Goswami says actually that three things affect determination. One is if you associate with non-devotees. That affects your determination. Then he says the other thing that will affect your determination is if you commit offenses in the association of devotees. But then he says another thing that will affect your determination is if you avoid the association of devotees. So you think like, okay, I'm not going to associate with non-devotees. And when I do associate with devotees, it all ends up a bit fiery. So therefore, I'll just avoid the devotees and just get on with it. It won't work. Somehow or other, to develop some real love for the devotees also, that is needed. We have to actually learn to really value the Vaishnavas. Like, if you read, really recommend it, if anyone can read it, is Jamuna Mataji's book, Her Memories of Srila Prabhupada. And she writes in one story that they had visited Surat. And Surat, the devotees there got a real amazing reception in Surat. So they went to the house of one Mr. Jariwala, I think his name was. So he decided that he would host the devotees for 25 devotees. He would host them in his house. So the devotees came there. They stayed there. And you know, the devotees were also a little bit rough on the edges, you know. So in their dealings, they were a little bit rough, you know. Like they would bring out prasadam and then devotees would say, I want more of this, I want more of this. Can you make that? You know, they're a little bit demanding, the devotees. But they were just humbly serving. They were just humbly, just happy to have the devotees there. The devotees were getting sick because they were in India. They were vomiting, they had diarrhea. And this household, they were just serving the Vaishnavas, whatever they required, you know, medicine, anything, just giving everything, just giving, giving. And then it came to the final day where all the devotees were staying there. So this Mr. Jariwala, he said, all the devotees, please come. Before you go, I want to give something to you. So all these devotees came into the room. And Prabhupada also came. And then this Mr. Jariwala, he came and he went around the room and he gave every single devotee an envelope. So obviously it was a donation. So he went around the room, he gave every single devotee a donation. Then he bowed down in front of every devotee. And then he said, you have all given me the greatest boon of my life by coming to my home, by blessing my home, by allowing me to serve you. If I have done anything wrong, this is he was saying, if I have done anything wrong, you please forgive me. And as he was speaking, he began crying. And Prabhupada was in the room. So Prabhupada was just watching the whole thing. And then Prabhupada looked at every devotee and he said, this is Vaishnav. Just see how much love he has for the devotees. Just see how he does not see any fault in anyone, but he simply wants to serve. And Prabhupada looked at every single devotee and he said, this is Vaishnav. Become like this. To actually have some genuine love for the devotees, that is what we have to develop. Because if we cannot learn to love the devotees, how can we learn to love Krishna? So yes, there are difficulties, there are arguments. Sometimes we even argue with devotees, conflicts. But sometimes if we just look back and think, like, how important is it anyway, our arguments? Just argue over small things. Like Prabhupada gives that story of there's two men and they're deciding what instrument is better to cut something. So one of them says a sharp stone and the other one says no, scissors. So they say no, sharp stone, no, scissors, no, sharp stone. And it becomes really heated. So then it becomes so heated that the one who is espousing the position that it should be a sharp stone, he throws the other guy into the ocean. So the other guy is now in the ocean, they're still arguing, and then this one in the ocean who's saying it should be scissors, he's drowning, and as he's drowning, you know, just about to save his life, he's going like this, no, scissors, scissors. I mean, let it go. How important is it? So even in our conflicts with devotees, how important is it really? Somehow or other, develop some love for the devotees. It's very difficult, but somehow or other we have to. So this was kind of some of my reflection, not very significant. But here we're reading, I'll just summarize and then I'll open it up for if anyone has any corrections or comments. Just to summarize, here we're reading in this verse, Mahaprabhu was given the name Vishvambar. What does it mean, Vishvambar? One who is filling the universe with love of God. So then we may want to consider how much love of God do I have. And if we look very closely at how Mahaprabhu developed his love of God, his love of God was very much related and underpinned by love for the jivas and love for the devotees. So where we develop love for jivas, we develop love for the devotees, then simultaneously the love of Godhead will manifest. All of these things have to be done side by side. And so if we're able to focus in this way and very much follow in the footsteps of what Mahaprabhu showed in his own life, then we may find that this love becomes more of a reality within our life. It's not just something we talk about. It's not just something that we discuss amongst each other. It's not just some aspect of philosophy. But it actually becomes a very deep reality. Because ultimately everything we do, like Indraduna Maharaj once said in one class, he said, all of your studies, all of your service, all of your austerities, all of everything of what you do in spiritual life, is just so that one day you can sit in one corner of a room, chant one name of Krishna, and have a genuine teardrop of love for Krishna fall from your eye. Then you got it. Otherwise, even Bhagavatam says, Shramma eva hi kevalam. Notpadayad yati ratim. Shramma eva hi kevalam. If this rati, if this attraction, if this genuine love for Krishna does not develop, then everything we're doing, we're missing the point. So those are a few points that I wanted to share. I don't know if anyone has any comments, questions, or corrections.